This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now to talk a little NFL is a senior NFL reporter for Yahoo Sports, one of the best in the business. You can get him on Twitter, at Charles Robinson. Charles Robinson joining me right now on CBS Sports Radio. Charles, it's great to have you on the program. You're out in L.A. at Rams camp right now, huh?
That is correct. I am looking at Aaron Donald right now, and I'm telling you right now, I have never seen him, I don't want to say smaller, but holy cow, like his body transformation is unbelievable. The fact that he is a defensive tackle makes no sense right now.
Well, he's always been thought to be sort of an undersized defense, you know, an interior undersized defensive lineman, but that was mostly because of height. Are you saying he's trimmed down a little bit too?
It's, you know, when I came in, I talked to their staff a little bit, and they just, you know, they said, look, it's remarkable how his body transformation, if you look from one year to the next, each year in the NFL, he seemed to get in better and better shape. He's got like a 16-pack of abs now. Like, it's just, I mean, you just look at him, and it's insane. I mean, he's thick. You know, he's very thick, very strong, but he's just not – he had an element of you know, he did have an element of defensive tackle size when he came in. You know, he was broad. He was, you know, there was some heft to him. It's gone. Like, it's pretty amazing what he looks like right now. I'm almost curious. Like, I hope this doesn't impact his performance. I mean, it's unbelievable what he looks like. He looks almost like a big middle linebacker.
I'm totally intrigued by that. The only time I can remember a player, that happening with a player, Charles, for me, I'm in Houston and I cover the Texans. I do the post game for the Texans. And I think it was like 2013, Dwayne Brown, their former left tackle, came in, and he had an off season where he just decided to do exactly what you just said, like trim down, and it didn't work out as well for him, but it's a different position. Like, you know, Dwayne playing left tackle is different than Aaron Donald trying to do Aaron Donald things. I'm totally intrigued by what you're talking about.
Right, and he, you know, I mean, that's the thing, is, you know, he's penetrating, he's all about hands and quickness, and so I'm sure we'll only aid him, but wow, it's pretty remarkable. I honestly, it was funny, I was telling other guys today, the only two human beings who I've seen who could play interior line positions who looked like they were He-Man, you know, figurines. It's like Watt. It's like Watt and Aaron Donald. They're like the only two guys who at the peak of their physique just didn't – I mean, they just looked unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a couple of freaks, no doubt about that. What's the concern level at Rams camp over Todd Gurley's knee?
So he's not – you know, he's out here today. He's not practicing. But, you know, they feel fine about it. He's not going to play in the preseason. You know, that was one of the things that when I talked to their staff, they're like, look, don't expect him to ever hit the field in the preseason in any of the games. But, you know, he was out here cutting and running yesterday, felt really good. I just think, you know, from talking to them, it's about, I think what happened last season, they felt like there was the depth behind him. They wanted to, you know, split up carries at a certain ratio. And then there was just so much attrition that he piled up a lot of carries that they didn't anticipate. Mm. And, you know, they brought in this kid, Daryl Henderson, from Memphis in the third round. And I'm telling you, I think Henderson's going to get probably at least 30% of the offensive snaps. I think Sean McVay looks at him as sort of a Chris Thompson type who he had in Washington. So, you know, they're definitely planning on trying to lessen the load a little bit in terms of, you know, just overall volume. But Gurley will be there. Obviously, every time, you know, they're looking for a big impact chunk play, he's going to be on the field.
Yeah, Henderson is number two. If you follow these things, he's number two on the board in Vegas for offensive rookie of the year. I think behind only Kyler Murray, maybe. I think he's 7-1. And you just said it, Charles, he's a third-round pick. How has he looked so far from what you've seen?
He looks good. You know, he's definitely got a quickness to him. He has some, you know, some size. I don't remember Chris Thompson really being this size. And what was interesting to me was, you know, they break him a lot. They break him out a lot in the one-on-one passing drill. So, you know, he's just like Thompson in Washington, definitely going to be a guy leaned on in the passing game quite a bit. So, I can see why there's definitely some excitement in Vegas over him. I don't know if I would put him second on the board.
Second on the board, man. Yeah, 7-1.
Yeah, I don't. That's pretty optimistic. But he I will say this: he does look good, and I know the plan is definitely, as I said, at least I think minimum a 70-30 ratio between he and Todd.
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports senior NFL reporter, joining us on CBS Sports Radio. Charles, Gurley's actually a good segue into what I wanted to start off with you on, which is Ezekiel Elliott and this contract standoff he's in with the Cowboys. You've got a great piece talking about how Gurley's contract is really complicating things, not just for the Cowboys, but you got Melvin Gordon out there. There's going to be other marquee backs that are looking for money. How do you think this plays out in the short term here with the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott?
I have to believe. Look, I don't see Zeke's not going to do the Le'Veon Bell sit out all season thing. Like, it's just not going to happen. But if the Cowboys give him a Todd Gurley type deal, it is absolutely blinking. And I think that's part of the reason why right now, you know, it's been reported that the Cowboys have put an offer out there and not gotten a response. And I think it's because, you know, bare minimum, Ezekiel Elliott's camp is looking for a Todd Gurley contract plus $1. You know, look, to exceed the Todd Gurley contract. But, you know, as I wrote, when you talk to contract advisors, agents who are dealing with teams, and then you talk to the teams themselves, it's clear that the teams feel like the Todd Gurley deal was a bad deal. That they feel like, look, the Rams warped the market at running back, and really we should be good running backs in the NFL should be making about $10 million a season, which is what the Chargers have offered Melvin Gordon. And, you know, exceptional running backs should be somewhere, you know, $12 to $13 million, which is where David Johnson is for the Cardinals. You know, no one feels that way, though, when they're negotiating for elite running backs. And Zeke's camp clearly doesn't feel that way. So they're saying, hey, you know, come to us $14 to $15 million per season. That's what running backs should make. Cowboys just have too many other commitments that they have to worry about right now, so I don't think it's going to be an easy negotiation just to roll out a Todd Gurley deal.
Yeah, there are two things relative to an Ezekiel Elliott deal that I think are sort of mitigating factors in this whole thing, and you just touched on one of them. They've got a very busy offseason this year with Amari Cooper looking for a new contract, and the big one, of course, is Dak Prescott. Can you go a little deeper on that, Charles, and just how those other deals, you know, Jalen Smith is another deal, Byron Jones, one of the curses of drafting so well, which they've done over the last few years, is eventually you got to pay some of these guys. How much does, especially the Prescott one, impact Ezekiel Elliott in the overall picture?
Yeah, an offensive tackle, Lyle Collins, a starting offensive tackle too. You know, I mean, they've stacked up a number of guys that they need to do. So look, first off, Amari Cooper is in no hurry. He said it, like, publicly he has said it. I've had a chance to talk to his camp. They're not in overdrive trying to get a deal done. They know Amari Cooper's going to get paid. And I think they're just waiting to see, hey, where does this Michael Thomas deal come in for the Saints? Where does the Julio Jones deal come in? Maybe Tyreek Hill with the Kansas City Chiefs. All those things are going to be, you know, it's going to be a tide that raises all boats, including Amari Cooper's. And so they're not putting a lot of pressure on the Cowboys to get this done. I think the Cowboys are happy about that, to be honest with you. And as far as Dak Prescott, you know, the complication of that deal is that, you know, you're talking about a representation from Dak Prescott that, you know, started the negotiations, sat down, and they're talking, look, Carson Wentz deal. We're deep into the $30 million per year, average per year, you know, salary figure. And then obviously the massive commitment up front and guaranteed dollars. And, you know, it's just that is a huge pivotal deal for the Cowboys to do. And when I've talked to, you know, sources with Dallas about why this is dragging on, they just said, look, Stephen Jones knows this is a turning point kind of deal for the Cowboys. He wants to make sure he measures it all the way out before they do it. And I think they're also getting comfortable with, look, the average per year number that they're going to have to put out there for Dak got to begin with a 3, not a 2. He's going to make in the $30 million. And, you know, I think they're just making sure they've got the comfort level where it needs to be and try to plan out other additional salaries down the line. As you said, like Jalen Smith, they don't want to lose him. They'll probably lose, you know, cornerback Byron Jones. They cannot pay everybody. So I think that also factors in. Who are they willing to sacrifice to pay the new, you know, triplets on offense being Zeke, Amari Cooper, and Dak?
Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, joining me on CBS Sports Radio. Last thing on Ezekiel Elliott, Charles, is given that he had a 6-game suspension 2 years ago, given that he got into enough of a dust-up this offseason to where he had to go meet with Roger Goodell, what conduct components could we expect in an Ezekiel Elliott type of deal?
Well, look, I think they will want to protect themselves, and so there will be elements of the, you know, personal conduct policy that could void some of the guarantees in Ezekiel Elliott's deal. But I think the Cowboys are treading lightly there because they really supported Ezekiel Elliott in the six-game suspension, not only in words, but, I mean, their legal counsel played a part in really trying to combat that suspension. And they've said repeatedly they think that, you know, that suspension was not warranted for Ezekiel Elliott. So it's hard for them then to go to the negotiating table and say, hey, even though we said all this publicly, we're not going to hold it against you, you know, at the contract table. Now, that said, his off-the-field behavior is going to be a component of this. And so I would be stunned, and it would be a massive win for Ezekiel Elliott's representation if they did not have any sort of language there that would void certain guarantees in the contract if he were to run afoul of the personal conduct, you know, policy once again. I mean, there are already protections anyway, you know, that they will have, that every contract essentially has when it comes to guarantees, but I think there will be something very specific built in for Zeke.
Charles, last one before I let you go. We got about a minute and change. You had a tweet yesterday that for anybody who was against the NFL adding pass interference to the replay rules, like me, it was a pretty scary tweet from a football standpoint that there are teams that are basically looking to weaponize the new pass interference rules. Can you take us through that a little bit from what you've talked about with some of the folks around the league and the camps that you visited?
Yeah, I actually – so I had lunch with a personnel guy early on in, you know, my training camp tour. And, you know, we were sitting there and I kind of asked him about pass interference, you know, the new pass interference, you know, the challenge ability and then just the tweaks to the rule itself. And he said, oh, yeah, you know, that's going to be a component of our teaching in camp. And I said, you know, like in what fashion? And he said, well, look, we're going to absolutely – there's going to be – some touching on techniques. There's going to be some touching on, you know, certain formations and plays that we think are advantageous to us in certain phases of the game where we feel like, hey, you know, we may need a flag in a situation, particularly if it's an extreme down and distance. And it struck me sideways. I just thought, okay, this is odd to hear someone actually say this. And then when I picked up the phone and I started to call around, he wasn't the only one. I mean, there were a few guys that said, yeah, absolutely, we're going to touch on that. We're going to see if there's any edge to be had there. And I think what's most interesting about this, if anyone talks to Al Riveron, he's going to be pretty clear about the fact that, you know, this isn't just as simple as the helmet-to-helmet rule. This one's going to give their officiating crews quite a bit of – it's going to be a heck of a challenge for their officiating crews to make sure that they're calling this correctly and dealing with it on a game-by-game basis. So I wouldn't just poo-poo this, that this will disappear like the helmet-to-helmet rule did when the regular season began last year.
Charles Robinson, you can get him on Twitter, at Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, senior NFL reporter. Charles, really appreciate the time, man. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Always my pleasure.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.